God, through His Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, gave us three commands, and those three commands sum up all the Scriptures. We are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ out into this world. And in doing that, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, all is summed up, because in the love of God is the Word of God, for the Word of God is Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, today we are going to continue in our Lenten series, seven things we must let go of if we are to live life abundantly. And today we're going to be dealing with number four. It's called enemies. How many of you have enemies out there? All of us have enemies. We're human, okay? And we see enemies, and we see things that we need to come against, and there are people that come against us, or idioms that come against us, and it's a horrible affair, because one of the things that I want us to realize is if you have someone that you consider an enemy or a thing that you consider an enemy, do you realize that that thing or that someone actually has more control over you than you realize? Because the things that you turn your attention to are the things that control you. And it's so amazing to me, because when I used to be Rich Dubs many, 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 many years ago, I had people in my life that I positively loathed. And I'm confessing my sins to you now, okay? I did not realize until I came into the Christian faith, until I came to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just how much power I gave those people or those situations. And it wasn't until I gave them up to the Lord that all of a sudden I was free. And I didn't have to worry about what other people thought. I didn't have to worry about what things didn't look right on Rich. Okay, and by that, I want you to think about this. How many of us get antagonized by things out there in the world? They come against us, and we just want to stand up against it. Stand up against it. But we're just one person. So how far do you get when you come against the system of our world? You don't get very far. But however, when you give those things over to the Lord and you literally begin to let go of them, things begin to change. Not necessarily for the world right away, but for you. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want us to look at the example that each and every one of us have in our lives of understanding what it means to let go of our enemies, and then the blessing that comes from doing so, and how it is truly one of the doors that opens abundant life. So today, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 19. Luke in chapter 19. And we are going to be turning to verse 27 in the book of Luke, chapter 19. Now, it just so happens that, yes, we are in Lent, and I'm going to be looking at something that took place during what we would consider the time of Lent. However, it's a few days from now. And from the verse 27, we understand that at this point in time, Jesus is getting ready to make His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So, no, it's not Palm Sunday, so this is not a Palm Sunday sermon, but this is what's happening at the time. And I want us to look at Christ and see His mindset and understand His desire for each and every one of us. From verse 27, "But these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them," oops, am I in the right place? Yes, I am. "Bring them here and slay them in my presence." After he said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, when he approached Bethpage near Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he set two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord has need of it." They brought it to Jesus, and he sat upon. They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully in a loud voice for the miracles that they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." When I read these words and we see Jesus coming in, he just ended and I just caught that last verse, okay? I just caught that last verse because I wanted us to see that he was talking about a parable in which he was looking at the people, and he literally says that these enemies, okay, but these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, who was he talking about when he said that? He was talking about the Jewish people. He was standing outside of Jerusalem, and he was literally lamenting. He was literally lamenting. And he said to them that these people were enemies of his. But yet Jesus was getting ready to do something that would change everything for all of us. These people that were his enemies were looking for a way to kill him, for a way to destroy him. But yet, when he came into the place, they were joyful and they were glad. But we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Because come Good Friday, he would go up on the cross. But Jesus stood outside of Jerusalem before he came into the town, and he literally lamented over it. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you only knew who it was that would bring you peace." How many of us want peace in our lives? How many of us want to know the goodness of the Lord? And it so amazes me because for years the church has taught that that peace is a heavenly thing, that we're all going to have peace when we get to heaven. But I say verily unto you, Jesus came in peace. He is our peace. And we can have peace on this side of the grave. But that peace has to be in here first before it can get out there. And that's what Christ was doing as Jesus went, as he opened the way, as he now receives this blessing. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. As they're proclaiming that, he knows what's coming on Friday, doesn't he? How many of you know what's coming on Friday? Yeah, not one of us. We have no idea what's going to happen 5 seconds from now. But are we going to live in such a manner as to give up our enemies so they don't have the control over us that we can literally walk in peace? Today, I want you to think about where you are in life and whose you are and what's happening in our world. When we see where God is and what God is doing in our lives, it's understanding that you and I have to look at the life of Christ and realize that he taught something radically different than we all understand today. Because in our world today, you know, how many of you watched the State of the Union address. Was it good? You know, I'm going to say this. I respect the office of president because I'm a citizen of the United States. But I was offended. I was offended because I felt as though I were being attacked and I did nothing. And I thought to myself, why is this man so angry? Then I think about our world. Why is our world so angry? Because our world wants sin, doesn't it? And they want it to the full. And the fullness of the Gentiles is coming in. And it's understanding what that means. I mean, I want you to think about this. Why did God destroy everything on earth the first time? Because evil had gotten so bad that God had to wipe it out, to set things back, to slow things down. Do you realize he had to do it a second time, but he promised he wouldn't flood the earth another time? Does anybody know when he set the world back a second time? Most of us don't even think about it. It's called the Tower of Babel, when he confused their languages. God had to slow us down again. Why? Because every inclination of our hearts was evil. It's a contagion. It comes from sin. And when we don't walk in the total covering of Jesus Christ, that sin, that evil will enter in and it will take power over you. And that's something that all of us have to fight against. All of us have to look at and understand that Jesus has a different way. He has a way that he wants us to walk, and he has a word that he wants us to hear. Turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. Because this is a hard word. This is the word of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is a hard word. It's a word that we'll all stand under and we'll all quote it and we'll all say, yes, it's true. But yet when we're out here walking in this world and things come against us, what do? We put up our walls, don't we? We put up our defensive walls. But look what Jesus says to us here in verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good. Lend and expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it shall be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. That last verse that we just read, verse 38, is one of the most important verses that I can give you when we start talking or thinking about our enemies. Give and it will be given unto you. Give and it will be given unto you. When we see that, and when we understand what this recourse that Jesus is giving us here, and it's the Beatitudes, okay? It's the end of the Beatitudes. And when we see where it is and understand what is going on and how God wants us to live, all of a sudden we begin to see that Jesus is turning the world upside down. This isn't the way life is. People come against us all the time. They judge us all the time. Well, you mean we shouldn't judge them? Yeah. Don't judge them. Remember, you used to be like them. Did God judge you? Well, actually, He did. And He called you His son or daughter, even before we were sinners. Isn't that what the Word says? Before we knew Him. Even yet, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ is asking you to die in the attitudes of your hearts, not in the physical sense that He had to die. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the toughest things you and I are ever going to do is give up our enemies. I mean, I want you to think about this. These are people that have hurt us. These are people that keep coming at us. But I asked you this question. Do they know truth? Who is truth? Yeah, Wendell got it right. Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of people out here in this world, and they tell us that, you know, well, that's your truth, and this is my truth. There's only one truth. There's only one truth, and His name is Jesus Christ. And we know Him, for He's right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. We either believe it or we don't. We either live it or we don't. Now, how many of you are having a hard time with living this? Yeah, and I know I'm talking to you folks out there too. We're all having a hard time living this. Why? Because we've got one foot on this side and one foot on the other side. We live in this physical world, but we are tuned to a spiritual reality. Which one are we going to give credence to? It's been said to me a long time ago that every one of us has a good dog and a bad dog living in us. And the question is, good dog, bad dog, which one's going to live? There you go. I heard it from two places. One said the one you feed the most. Want to talk to you. Because you shouldn't be feeding the one at all. We should only be feeding one. And that's the good dog. But you see, there's a problem with that. Because that bad dog barks and growls and hollers and screams and does all kinds of crazy stuff, and it wants us to give all our attention to it, and well, maybe if I give it something, it'll shut up. That's not the way it works. Because the obedient dog, the good dog, just sits there and waits and gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And you and I need to understand that that's the one that Jesus wants us to feed. Jesus wants us to work on that good dog. He wants us to work on the goodness. For old things have gone and new things have come. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? And in that, as we turn our hearts away from evil and we turn our hearts towards good and we begin to understand that we are to be merciful just as our Father is merciful, and that we are to love our enemies and do good and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. How many of us can say, God was good to me and He expected nothing in return while I was against Him? But when I came to Him, now He says, now you're going to give to me. How many times has your pastor said during the offering that I will walk down here, I'll stand here behind the cross, and what is the offering? What do we bring here? It is not money that we bring here. Yes, the church needs money to continue to function. And God will make that right when you give Him your heart. Because God needs you to love Him before He can love you back and give you the blessings that are yours. But then that means as we receive that love, that we then begin to walk in it and accept the change, the transformation that comes to each and every one of us. You and I need to understand, you know, and I hate saying these words because it's like, don't tell me what I need to do. But I'm talking to the church, aren't I? We need to give it up. We need to let it go. Why? Because it's going to tear us up. You can't feed both of them. And that's why I said I need to talk to you, Steve. He's stumbling over it now. Don't you love it? And we can all, we're all there, aren't we? Because whether we want to or not, we still do feed that dog a little bit. Because we are a work in progress. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to work on this until the day I die because Jesus has called me to do so. And it's only in Him that I will be made whole, and it's only in Him that you will be made whole. But we are to be the most trying people that the world has ever seen. My mom used to tell me that was a bad thing. I've come to realize it's a good thing. Because God wants us to try at every turn. The world's going to beat us down, and the world is going to tell us things. The world's going to do things. But the reality is the world cannot take our salvation. Can I get an amen? Our hope is sure in Jesus Christ. And you and I are going to get beat up. We're going to get ripped off. Things are going to happen. You know, I can look at this congregation and I can all but guarantee you, every one of you here can tell me a story where you got ripped off, where you got hurt because you were vulnerable. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus get hurt? Think about how He felt as He was up on the Mount of Olivet, looking over Jerusalem, weeping over Jerusalem. And now He goes to enter in. And He knows what's going to happen on Friday. And yet here's all these people waving the palm branches, putting their coats on the donkey, laying this stuff in the road, singing the Alleluia chorus. All the while, Friday's on the way. How many of us feel like that sometimes? Friday's on the way. You know, that's why people commit suicide. Because of the anger and evil in our world. I can't help but think how that has affected this congregation and one family in particular. How much has it affected our world? Suicide is at an all-time high today. We've never seen suicide like we're seeing today. And it's because our nation, one nation under God, is no longer indivisible. Because we are so divided by our enemies and the evil of our world, because it's all that's taught. When the President of the United States screams and yells at the American people, he literally pointed a finger right at the Supreme Court. He pointed a finger at the Republicans. But doesn't he realize that he's the man in charge? He's the one doing this? Do we realize we're the ones doing this? because we don't listen, because we don't see, and because we don't act in accordance to the Scriptures of God. As we open our hearts, we need to understand that God has a way, that it's tough, it's hard, but it's the most beneficial way we'll ever find. Turn in your Bibles to our third scripture. It's Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Sorry, Miss Sally. I do get quiet from time to time, especially when my heart's heavy. This is a heavy word. Romans chapter 12, we're going to be in verse 17. From 17, it says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, I used to love that scripture because I would, and I still do love it, but I loved it for the wrong reason is what I'm getting ready to say here. I would read that scripture and I'd say, "I'm going to pray for you because I'm going to heap coals on your head. I'm going to burn you up." And the Lord put coals on my head and taught me what it really means. Because in that, what's he saying? There's another place in Scripture where a coal was used. Does anybody know where I'm talking about? I know Wendell does. He's got it. Because Isaiah said, "I am a man of unclean lips, for I am of an unclean and evil and adulterous nation." And the Lord had an angel go to the altar and from the fire on the altar take a coal and touch his lips and purge his lips. And that's exactly what this is talking about. Because when we pray for these people and we speak good into their lives, we are taking the coals of God's refining fire, and we are laying them upon their head to burn up the dross, to bring them to that place of righteousness. It is not an evil thing. It is not a vengeful thing. It is not something of us. Because again, the scripture right before it says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. So we let it on God, whether that person be harmed by those coals or cured by those coals. Those coals are the symbol of God on that life. That we are bringing a caring, a concern, a hope into that person's life. That's where we need to be. Today, we're going to pray for our government. We're going to pray for our leaders. And we do every week. You all know that. We pray because we want people to turn. Can I get an amen? God says He would that every man turn from his sin and be saved. For He has no pleasure in sending anyone to hell. But He will give each their own due. And if that's where they want to go, that's up to them. But we're not to go down that road. That's what I'm trying to tell each and every one of you. For the earthly things will be burned up. We all know it. One way or another, they will either be burned up and the person brought to salvation, or they'll be burned up and cast into the lake of fire. We know that. That's God's, not ours. But what is ours is to turn our way away from the evil, to let go of our enemies, and understand that they are simply as broken or worse broken than we were, and yet still are. For when we can give these things up, we'll begin to live an abundant life. I want you to think about what was told to us. For we were told that we will receive a blessing. When we walk in this way, we will be called the sons of God, and the blessings therein will come unto us. That was in Luke. Remember what I told you. Every week I'm going to give you a blessing. It was in the very first reading that we read. Oh my gosh. Am I Pennsylvania Dutch or what? When we think about where we are and when we bring these truths into our lives, God says you will be called the sons of the Most High God. And that means all the blessings of that sonship are ours. What blessings has Jesus received? He is at the right hand of God the Father in glory. Where are we going to sit, brothers and sisters? We are going to sit at the right hand of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I'm probably going to be about 10 millionth down, but I'm still in the line and I'm happy. Because I'm there. But the reality is, while I'm here, am I there? Is that where I put myself? Is that the standard that I raise? And is that the standard I try to live by? Again, which dog am I going to feed? Today you're here because you're feeding the right dog. Amen? And I want you all to understand that. You are here and it's a good thing. I mean, I look out there and I see the smiles on your faces. And you all know this message is talking right to you. Because we all have things we have to work through, don't we? But guess what? We have a season of the year where we get to bring these things out and say, this is what I need to do. It's called Lent. You know, the early church fathers put our church calendar together for a reason. Because it's a time of self-examination. And if we're not truly self-examining ourselves, who is examining us? Well, God is for number one. But who else is? The world. They're all looking at us. In my lifetime, do you know how many times I've been told, and you call yourself a Christian? I'm a pastor. Do you know how many times I've heard that? The amazing thing is, guess who I hear it from most often? Now, she will say to me in the car when I say something stupid, she'll say, okay, pastor. Yeah, I will give you that, Miss Eva. Yeah, that's a wife's duty. But I hear it from the church. I hear it from the church. It's an amazing thing. And when do I hear it? When I bring rebuke. It's the hardest thing all of us has to deal with, isn't it? I'm not your enemy. I'm here to love you and help you walk right. Am I going to let you do the things that you ought not do? Are you going to let me do the things I ought not do? Thank you, Miss Eva. She's shaking her head no for those of you who can't see the back of her head on the cameras. I need more people like you. Because who holds the church accountable? The church. We live in a world where the church has gotten away from that very reality. And all kinds of evil is in the church. And we find enemies in the church. But when the church gets these seven things right, the church can truly be the church. And live life abundant this side of the grave together. We have to give up control. We have to give up our expectations. We have to give up and let go of our enemies. Because as we do these things, we will begin to live life abundant on this side of the grave. And in that abundance, we will see the blessings and the glory of the Lord. So today, in Lent, as you leave here today, there was a reason we sang the two songs about loving God. I'm a child of love. And listen to our hearts. Because how many times do our hearts just long to touch the throne? To have Dad's touch just for a moment? Because we need somebody to love us right where we are. And how many times where we are is being unlovable ourselves? So today, in Lent, let us give up our enemies. Because in so doing, we take back the power of the heir that you truly are, sons and daughters of the Most High. Pray with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for tough words. I thank you for tough thoughts. I thank you for your truth. Because, Lord God, we are living in an age right now where there is so much evil going on that the love of many is growing cold. We wish it not to grow cold, but to pick up yet again the promise that we truly are sons and daughters of the Most High, that we would be able to live in peace with all men, even now. But that means we have to be that peace. We have to let go and let you be God in our life and in our world. Father, I ask that you would bless all those who have heard this word today, as tough as it is, to realize that the love we know is a love that goes beyond all that we are into what we yet shall become. And that is our hope. In Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.